stretch your legs for a minute and get ready. Let your behind wake up. You know it went to sleep. Amen. Just flip the switch on the top there, brother. Amen. We got a packed house this morning. So good to see. I'm thankful once again for the choir. Looking forward to April. We'll start two services and make some room. And I appreciate everybody that's volunteered to help us with that, get involved in ministry and everything else. That has been a blessing to me and the staff, and we're very grateful for it, all right? Help me, if you will, to pray right now for Brother Jason. I want you to ask God to use him this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, we thank you for the opportunity to come into this place, Lord, and worship you. Lord, we thank you for your servant, God, that you sent our way. Lord, we're thankful for his wife, his youngin'. God, what a wonderful family, Lord, to be friends with, and Lord, to just be associated with. God, I thank you for them. Lord, I pray that you would use him this morning. Lord, fill him with the Holy Spirit. Lord, may he minister to us in word. God, may he say nothing he doesn't need to say. God, I pray every word that you'd have him to say, Lord, comes out of his mouth this morning. And Lord, I pray every word leads us straight to you. God, thank you once again for this man. And thank you for the opportunity that you've given our church to listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can have a seat. Thank you.
Amen. Well, if you're thankful for what the Lord's already done this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Kind of hard, I'll be honest with you. When the Lord begins to move like that, there's one of two things. You don't really want to get in the Lord's way. And the second thing is, you don't want to mess up anything that the Holy Spirit's doing. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. But aren't you glad you can still come to church and you can feel the presence of the Lord? Amen. Open your Bibles, if you will, this morning to the book of Genesis, chapter number 39. Genesis, chapter number 39. And as you open your Bibles, I want to say it has been a privilege and an honor. We're so thankful to be able to be here. Your church means so much to my family. A few years ago, we were here, and I've had the blessing to be able to be with a lot of your young people throughout the summers over those last few years. But just a few years ago, when we got acquainted with you, the Lord really done a work in our heart. And ever since then, I feel indebted to this church. And I know it's the Lord who moves, but this church has been a vessel that God has used to be able to speak and minister to my family personally. And I am so thankful for that. And I'm glad that God is doing what he's doing. It's been a good weekend. And as Brother Robbie has said, your pastor, it has definitely been a blessing to be able to see the Lord work the way that he has. And we're so grateful for the way God has given us the good fellowship, but also how the Lord has spoke to our heart. And looking forward to what the Lord's going to do this morning. This morning, as you open your Bible there to Genesis chapter number 39, I want to be obedient to the Lord in the time. But I'll be honest with you, this is something that the Lord has done in my heart. And to be real with you, it's something he is continuing to do in my heart. If I could say it this way, I guess I would just be plain with you this morning. I guess that I would rather just this morning just preach to myself, and if I could do that, you just listen, and maybe the Lord will help you the way that the Lord's helped me. How many of you know that sometimes that's just the way Scripture is? Amen. I'm thankful for that. In Genesis chapter number 39, we're going to read there in just a few moments, but before we do, we're going to go back, but I want to read a few of these verses in chapter 39, and I'm going to start the phrase, and when I'm done, I want you to finish the phrase that we read, all right? So Genesis chapter number 39, verse number 2, notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph. You come down to verse number 3, notice what the Bible says again, and it says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. You go down, if you will, to the latter part of this chapter, and the Bible says there in verse number 21, notice, but the Lord was with Joseph. You go down to verse number 23, notice again, if you will, the Bible says this, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. We all want this. This is a desire that many of us would say is that we want the Lord. If you want the Lord in your life, in your home, your marriage, your ministry, say amen this morning. Well, let me start off by saying this with a truth that you understand that that can be something that is a reality. And we know that the Lord never leaves us, thank God, and He never forsakes us. But I'm not talking about necessarily just the Lord always being with us because that's His promise. But I'm talking about the touch of God in our life, in our home, in our ministry, in our marriage. And that is definitely at the heart of where I am today. I want the Lord to be with me, and I want to be in the center of God's will every step of the way. But the truth that I give you this morning is this: it is not going to happen without a cost. You must be willing to be able to pay the price for God to be able to do something in your life. It means that you're going to have to give up some things. You're going to have to do some things. You're going to have to go through some things. Why? Because this is the will of God. See, sometimes we mistaken to be able to think that the will of God is a destination. We're thinking, well, I just want the will of God for my home, or I want the will of God for my family, as if we get somewhere one day that we arrive somewhere. I want to be in the will of God in the ministry, and that's our mindset, that it is a destination. But the will of God is not a destination, it is a journey. And it's every day that you live, every step that you take, you got to live in the will of God every single day. If you believe that, say amen. With that being said, I want you to turn back just a couple chapters to be able to give you a few things by introduction. Chapter number 37, notice if you will, in this journey, there's some things that you and I need to understand, and not only understand, but we must accept. I want you to pick up, if you will, reading, if you will. Let's start off there in verse number 3, if I could say it that way. Matter of fact, let's go back to verse number 2. It says, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. He names some of the brethren. Then you go down to the latter part of that verse and notice what it says. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. When you go to Genesis chapter number 50, you see, and I'm paraphrasing, that Joseph stands up and he says, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. What are you saying, Brother Jason? I want you to know that in this journey that you need to be able to remember this, that there will be evil things that we will face. We get surprised sometimes. We get caught off guard. We get the wind, if I can say it this way, knocked out of us because something comes. When it comes like blows and we're never expecting it. We don't know why in the world the Lord would allow this to happen to my home, why it would happen to my family, to my marriage, to my ministry. And it seems like in the moment when we come to church on a Sunday morning and we rejoice and lift up the name of Jesus, and then all of a sudden the next day the evil comes in and it knocks the air out of us. Let me just say this to you. That's part of the journey of living for the Lord Jesus Christ. But as sure as there is evil, thank God, somebody say amen, there is also good. Amen. Amen. I'm glad for those days where we can come into church like today, and as the pastor's already testified, it's not about what God's going to do or about what God's doing, but I can look back, praise the Lord, and say what God's already done in my life. You want to say God's good? No, friend, God's not just good sometimes. He's not just good next time. No, God is good all the time. Amen. So we thank the Lord that along this journey there are evil things, but there are also good things. But not only that, I want to say in this journey, if you notice in verse number 4, it's a reality we must face. The Bible says, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him, everybody say loved him. Loved. Along this journey, thank God we got people that love us. All kinds of types of people in our life. And boy, thank God for the people that love us. I was around a group of men this week and some of the ladies on Friday night. And listen, you're not even part of my church and not quote unquote my church family. And I think to myself, as my wife had testified the other night about the blessing of how God had used this church. And boy, I had to stop and say, Lord, I'm so thankful that the Lord allows people in our life that loves us. These people that encourage us, they pray for us, they pray with us, they pour into our life. Even when we cannot pray for ourselves, they love us so much that they lift up our name to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that God has put men and women in my life that has prayed for me when I didn't understand how to get through what I was going through. And they loved me when I was unlovable. And when I messed up, they still cared for me. And they came to where I was and didn't leave me there. I'm glad that God put people that love me in my life. Amen. But rest assured, Along this journey, there are people who love you. But notice, if you will, in the same verse, the Bible says that it loved him more than all of his brethren. Watch this now. Everybody say, hated him. I'm not trying to be negative this morning. I'm trying to be real. Because if you want to be able to have the Lord with you, remember, this is a journey. And along this journey, there's going to be good days, but there's going to be evil days. There's going to be easy days, but there's going to be some hard days. But not only that, but along this journey, praise God, there's some people that love you. But as sure as there's somebody who loves you, you remember this, there's also people who hate you. There's people that's out to get you. They want to ruin you. They don't like the fact that you are succeeding. They don't like the fact that you go to church. They might look at you and say, oh, look at that hypocrite, because they remember, just like your pastor was talking about a while ago, they remember the rebel that you used to be. They remember the way that you used to talk and the way you used to act. And because of that, it's not a hate towards you. Realistically, it's a conviction that's in them. And because of that, they begin to put a target on your back and they mock you and they watch you and they talk about you. And sometimes these people, when they speak, it brings wounds to you. As I say often, those closest to you sometimes will cut you the deepest. You don't know why. It's not always the people that's in the world that's hating you. I hate to bust your bubble, but sometimes even people in the church will come against you. I'm telling it straight, friend. There's people that will love you on one day and they'll talk about you the next day. They'll pray with you at the altar on Sunday and then they'll gossip about you on Monday. I'm not trying to cause division. I'm just trying to help you wake up, if I could say it this way, and smell the coffee. This is the journey that we are living. Just because you're saved and born again does not mean that you're exempt from the problems of life. Just because you're saved and on your way to heaven, it does not mean that everything's going to be easy all the time and everybody's going to applaud you and pat you on the back and say that everything's all right. No, honey, along the journey, some people will love you, but there will also be people who hate you. But with that being said, I want to say this to you. God has a plan for everything that He's doing. If you believe that, say amen. Let's turn back, if you will, to Genesis chapter number 39 now and pick up. I want to read a few verses, if I can, in the latter part of this to be able to get to the message. The Bible says in verse number 19, and it came to pass that when his master heard the words of his wife, that she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did the servant to me, and his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison. Everybody say prison. It says they put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and he showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed into Joseph's hand all that the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. This morning, with the Lord's help, I want to just really preach just on this thought about staying in the presence of the Lord. How many of you want to stay in the presence of the Lord? About staying in the presence of the Lord. But you remember what I said to you? I said to you, you can stay in the presence of the Lord, but it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. There's going to be something that you're going to have to pay. There's going to be a price that you've got to expect. What is it? The Bible says that he was in prison. Can you think about that for a moment? The Bible just said that the Lord was with him, but he was in prison. The Bible again said they noticed that the Lord was with him, but he was in prison. Those prison moments of your life where it seems like that the walls are closing in on you. Sometimes when the difficulty's there, when life is not treating you fair, when you don't know how you're going to get to where you're going, and you don't even know how you got there, but all you know is it just seems to be hard and sometimes difficult and lonely. It might not just be an individual, it might be a husband and a wife. Maybe you're sitting here today as we think back about this weekend, thinking about the thought of better. Man, you've been serving the Lord, you've been walking with Jesus, you've been coming to Sunday school, you've been maybe going to the Bible college and singing in the choir, doing all the things that you're supposed to do. But where you are right now, maybe it's financially, maybe it's emotionally, maybe it's spiritually, it just feels like you've given everything that you got. You got nothing else to give. yourself, and it seems like the walls of the prison is closing in on you, and it just don't seem to be fair. What do you do? I tell you what you don't do. You don't throw in the towel and quit on all God's people said. That means I'm not just talking about quitting on Jesus. I'm talking about quitting on your family, quitting on your marriage, not walking away. No, listen, honey, when you got married, you said for better or worse, till death do us part, in sickness and in health, you made a promise to God. You made a promise to one another. And I promise you this, as sure as you love him or her, when they are unlovable, they should also love you when you are unlovable just as well. So here you are. And this is the truth when I look at this that I want you to do is this. Understand that if you're going to stay in the presence of the Lord, the price that you're going to have to pay is this. You're going to have to choose to serve God through difficulties. If you're in a habit of writing things down, you write these things down. Write it down. Serving the Lord through difficulties. I want to stay in the presence of God, but I want to be on the mountaintop. Of course you do. I want to be in the presence of the Lord, but I want to be able to be in the choir when the choir was singing like today and the Lord was moving in. Of course you do. But what about when nobody's there to sing? And what about when nobody's there to pray? And what about when it seems like you've got nobody in your corner? What about when you're just like Joseph and you feel all alone and the people that should have loved you don't love you no more? They cast you to the side. What do you do? I'll tell you what you do. You make your mind up that even though things are hard and even though things are difficult, I'm going to serve the Lord through my difficulty. The Bible says that he was in the place of prison. You say, Brother Jason, I want to be able to have victory. Let me just say this. Victory don't come after the battle. It ought to come in the midst of battle. And all God's people said, amen. You say, I want to have peace. Listen, peace shouldn't be after the storm. Listen, with Jesus, honey, there's peace in the midst of the storm. And I want to tell you today, if you're going to serve the Lord, and you can't serve him after the difficulty. You're going to have to choose him through the difficulty. Let me give you a few things this morning by staying in the presence of the Lord. Notice if you will. Let's go back to our text and notice what the Bible says. The Bible says this, starting and reading in verse number 22. It says, and the keeper of the prison, notice if you will, committed Joseph's hand, all the prisoners that was with him. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. I want you to continue to be able to read, if you will, in verse number 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Would you notice what the text said in verse 22? Whatsoever they had to do, listen, he was the doer of it, not somebody else. He didn't outsource it. He didn't get around and the Millie Grubbs and the Poochie Limp and get mad and frustrated and have the pity party. He wasn't a victim Christian. Well, I don't deserve this. So let somebody else sing and let somebody else serve and let somebody else praise the Lord. No, the Bible says in the midst of prison, that Joseph said, I'll do it. I'll do it. You can count on me. I'll do it. But then notice at the end part of verse 23. The Bible says the Lord. Everybody say the Lord. See, the Bible says the Lord made it to prosper. Can I tell you something? You write this principle down. If you're going to stay in the presence of the Lord and serve the Lord through difficulty, number one, write it down. You're going to have to do what you can where you are. Do what you can where you are. See, the Bible says that there was a part that he had to do, but there was also a part that God did. In other words, God still can prosper you. God can bless you. God can bless your marriage in the middle of those walls closing in. Oh, yes. God can bless your ministry even though the prison is real. God can bless your life even though you feel like you're in an unfair situation. God can and he will bless you. It's a promise based upon the word of God. But before you ever get the promise, there's a condition. There's some things that you must do. You know, it's amazing. We treat God like he's a genie in a bottle. Just rub it a little bit, wait for him to come out like Aladdin, and then boom, shakalaka, poof, there it is. Make your three wishes and go to the house. You remember the old eight ball? You remember that old eight ball? How many of you used to gamble on the eight ball? Amen. Be honest. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. That's the way we live, Pastor. We sit there and we're struggling. Listen, we're weak, we're tired. And by the way, it's real, it's real, it's real. The prison, it's real. I know it's real. But instead of getting up and praying every single day like we used to, instead of getting up and singing and rejoicing like we used to, listen, our song is there. It's hard to sing. It's hard to worship. It's hard to pray. It's hard to believe. And I know it is. I know it is. I know it is. But instead of getting up and doing it, we just say, God, all right, if you'll do it, I'll move on. God, if you'll make the shift, and we claim Galatians 6:9. In due season. Lord, if you'll just make that due season, Lord, I'll keep serving you. God says, I'm not worried about you. Keep serving me when I'm blessing you. I want to see that I'm still worthy even in the middle of your prison. Will you still serve me when it seems like it's hard? Will you still be faithful to your spouse? Somebody say amen when it's hard. Will you still love that person that's unlovable when it's hard? Will you still keep singing when it's hard? Will you keep reading your Bible when it's hard? God says, I'll bless you, but there's a part that you must do too. You know, the problem is, Brother Dalton, the reason why we don't do what we are, where we are, we don't do what we can where we are, is because some of us is too worried about yesterday. We're still trying to live yesterday. We're still trying to go back to yesterday and figure out why in the world we suffered that and why we had to deal with that. The reason why we can't move on today in our marriage is because we haven't forgive him about that and we haven't forgive her about that. And we want God to bless it. We want God to heal. But every time we talk to the pastor and every time we talk to God, we want to bring up somebody's stones and we want to bring up their problem. And the truth be told, what we're doing is we're just bullying them. You know what we're doing? We just keep throwing something in their face to make them feel little about themselves so we can feel big about ourselves. And the reason our marriage, our ministry, our lives are going nowhere is we're consumed with living yesterday. Some of us need to let it go. I mean, Joseph could have said, you know what, I can't believe my brothers cast me down into the pit. I can't believe I was stripped of the coat that I had of many colors that my father gave me. Lord, why would you let something like that happen? You gave me a dream and you let that happen. Some of us is so busy trying to understand the why, that we're missing out on what God's got right in front of us. Some of it ain't yesterday, some of it's tomorrow. It sounds like this. Well, Brother Dalton, whenever things get settled back in my home, me and my wife will get back in the choir. Whenever Sister So-and-so comes and says, I'm sorry, then I'll start being faithful to church again. Y'all help me preach now, friend. We're so busy about yesterday and tomorrow that we're missing out on today. And God said, listen, you can't go back to yesterday and relive it. You can't live tomorrow. But what you can do is you can do exactly what you can right where you are. And I want to ask you this question. Are you? You ever seen that broken Christian that comes to church? They get up in the choir, Sunday school. And they say, preacher, I just got to testify for a moment. And you know that they've been going through something that nobody knows. You know that they've been going through something that people couldn't even endure. Matter of fact, some things some of y'all go through, it would kill other people. And I'm not saying that being shallow. I'm being serious. Some of you go through some things. It's real. It's real. It's real. But they get up there like that preacher. And they say, preacher, I just got to testify. You don't even understand what they're saying because they're so broken. And I say, I just want to say, I love the Lord. God never gave up on me. He's been good to me, but yet you know that she's been praying for her husband that don't come to church. He's been praying for his children that's walked away, but yet they still testify. You want to know what they're doing? They're doing what they can right where they are. Instead of complaining and being mad and being upset, they're saying, God's still worthy. God's still good. He deserves my praise. So if I'm going to get through these difficulties, I'm going to keep serving the Lord right where I am. And I wonder when the last time is that you made your mind up that you're going to serve the Lord right where you are. The Bible says that David spoke in Psalms 31, I believe it is. He says, my times are in thy hands. He kept praising the Lord. Everybody says, well, I want to be just like David. Man, I want to serve God. I want the power of God upon my life. And I want to be able to go through the things that David, I want to be a giant killer. I want to be that guy. I want to be that guy. Remember what I said? It's going to cost you something. He said, my times are in thy hands. In other words, when I was a teenage boy and I defeated that lion, my times were in thy hands. When I defeated that bear, my times were in your hands. When I walked down in that valley and I looked across when everybody was intimidated, and I said to that Philistine, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And you gave me the victory. My times were in thy hands. You want to know why he kept on going? Because he knew everywhere he went, no matter what happened to him, that his God was still in control. And some of you got to settle and still trust the Lord. Everybody all right? Say amen. You got to say, Lord, you know where I am. You know what I'm going through. You know what I'm battling. You know what my family's dealing with. But you're never going to make it through the difficulties until you choose to do what you can where you are. Now, let me say this and I'll move on. I wonder who's here that you've lost your step because of something that's happened. It's the application of information that brings transformation. Everybody all right? Anybody can shout amen when a preacher's preaching and quoting scripture, but what about those who want to live it this morning? Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. Remember what I said? I said, I'm going to preach to myself because, friend, this ain't just something that you just kind of work up. No, everything I'm telling you today, the Holy Ghost has had to tell me. Everything that I'm telling you today, the Holy Ghost is still telling me. I got to make up my mind that I'm going to choose to be able to get back. Pastor, I'll be honest with you. Last year, there were some different things, and I may or may not talk some more about it, but I can remember last year, God had to forgive me. I had to repent. I mean, literally, to me and God, I come to church, and here I was, the pastor of the church, and man, I didn't get up and complain, but I'll be honest, my shout got a little bit more quiet. I dragged myself to the pulpit and I'd preach what the Lord let me preach, but I was weak and I was tired. Pastor, I'll be honest with you, I lost my vision. My vision was confined by ministry instead of the God that I serve. I felt the walls closing in and things were happening. Man, it seemed like life was being sucked out of me. Life was being sucked out of me. Come a time where I had to ask God to forgive me. And I said, God, forgive me because I've just been choosing to accept things the way they are. When the Bible does say this, according to your King James Bible, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. If God be for us, who could be against us? That we are more than conquerors. Can I get an amen this morning? You tell me why we say that, why we quote that, why we believe that, but we don't always live that way. Some of you need to take your marriage back this morning. You hear me? Some of you need to take your kids back. You think the devil's got them. Devil ain't got them. Listen, everything the devil does, God's in control of everything. He's got it all under his control. I could stop right here this morning. I think we all should hit the altar somehow, some way, because some of us have lost our step. Second thing, you write it down. Not only if you're going to get through the difficulties, you're going to do what you can right where you are, but secondly, write this down. You're going to have to choose to minister to people hurting around you. You say, preacher, I'm hurting. I know you are. I don't feel like serving. I didn't say you did. But if you're going to make it through this difficult season, you're going to have to realize there's people around you that's hurting just like you are. You say you got Bible on it? Look what the Bible says in chapter number 40. I don't have time to read it, but it's 23 verses. 23 verses. You know what it's about? It's about two different men. It's about a baker and a butler. And I want you to know that this baker and this butler, they were in the same prison. Everybody say same prison. They were in the same prison. They were dealing with the same walls. They had the same issues. They felt the same pain, the same abandonment. They felt everything that Joseph felt. But instead of him sitting there consumed, everybody say consumed. Consumed with his own problems. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 4, chapter 40. The Bible says, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. Oh, my. But Joseph, you're in prison, yeah. Joseph, you're struggling, yeah. Some of you, as a husband and a wife, you're in the same marriage that they're in, and both of you agree that it's not what it used to be. Maybe you need to get over yourself and quit being consumed with whatever you don't deserve. Somebody needs to submit themselves to God, because with Jesus and the Holy Ghost working in your marriage, He can do anything. But He's looking for somebody who's willing to get beyond their own troubles and choose to minister to somebody that's hurting that's around them. And if you're going to get through this season of your life and that season of your life, then God's given you, as He said, a full house this morning. There's people in here that they need somebody to love on them. Well, that's what we got a preacher for. No, that's not why you got a preacher for. We're one body. Everybody say amen. Listen, when you come to church, some of you Sunday school teachers, you get up there and you teach and you're broke and you're empty, you're praying for kids and you teach a kid Sunday school, but yet you still got to minister to somebody when you're broke. You get up here and sing that, hold that microphone, and yet you told you, I'm going to pray and I'm going to get up here and sing, and then you get up there and sing, and as you sing this song, you really have nothing to give, but yet you're still giving because you know somebody else is out there and they're hurting just like you are. And in the midst of that song, when you sing and you lose yourself, not because you're consumed with yourself, but because you see a brother or a sister get out and you see a tear fall down their eyes and you realize even in your brokenness as a broken vessel that God is using you as an instrument. That's how powerful God is, that God is ministering to somebody as they come down here. Notice what the Bible says, if you will, in verse number 7. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him, notice this, that were in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, watch this now, wherefore look ye so sadly today? They didn't say they were sad. You know what I've learned? Anybody knows somebody's struggling when you stand up and say, I'm struggling. But how many of you know that just because people don't say they're struggling don't mean they ain't struggling? If you know what I mean, say amen. You ever see that brother come to church and he's always so happy and go lucky? Man, he's shaking hands and doing everything. You don't know. You don't know what he was facing last night. That sister that comes, maybe she gets up here in the choir and man, she begins to sing for the Lord and you're watching her, man. She's lifting up her hands and she's praising the Lord, but tears are falling down her face. She might not have told you that she's carrying a burden, but when's the last time that you were so in tune with the Holy Spirit, not consumed with your own problems, that you seen that broken spirit inside of them and you walked up and you said, sister, I want to tell you something. It ain't none of my business and I might be wrong, but I noticed there was something different about the way you worship today, and I just want you to know that I love you and that I'm praying for you. Y'all with me? Say amen. I'm talking about having discernment, ministering to people around you because they're going through a hard time, just like you can. These teenagers, they come to church, everybody thinks, well, life is easy for them. They don't have to pay bills and they don't have to go through what we go through. They don't have to worry about putting food on the table. No, but you don't know what they're dealing with at home. Some of them might or might not have a mom and daddy to come to church, and still they live with that. Yes, they've learned to live with that, but whenever they see a mom and dad pray with their children at the altar, they relive it every single time. Y'all with me? Say amen. Go up to them and say, hey, say, I want you to know that I'm praying for you. What about when your preacher gets up? Oh, he's the man of God. He's strong. He knew anything. He gets up and he preaches. And when he preaches, it's like the power of God falls in this place. And man, you're shouting him down and boy, the Holy Ghost is speaking to your heart. And man, you're so excited. You can walk out of here and fight hell with a water pistol. And man, you're on fire for God. But that day, even though he preached with the power of God upon his life, I wonder how many of you watch me now. It's your pastor. He might not have said that he was burdened. He might not have said that last night he got a phone call about another family member or somebody in the church that is struggling, or maybe somebody that's giving him an attack on social media or maybe on the backside and he's carrying away. Maybe he's got a son that is serving our country that he just burdened for. He didn't say nothing about it. Maybe he sees his own children and maybe them grandbabies go through something. He don't say anything. Why? Because he's God's man and he's supposed to be strong, but as he mounts that pulpit, he might be strong in the spirit, but physically he's exhausted. Oh, but you better believe, I say this with a humble heart, you expect him to notice you. Oh, the preacher didn't shake my hand today. I was at the altar. He sent so-and-so to pray with me. He didn't come down there. He said he'd pray with those sinners, but he can't come pray with his own members. Y'all help me now. The devil will make you say some stupid stuff, and I meant to say that word. But when's the last time you went up to him and said, preacher, I love you,
And I want you to know that today you helped my heart. He says, well, praise the Lord. No, preacher, I noticed today that you were a little bit lower in your shoulders. I noticed today that there was a little bit of brokenness in your spirit. And I might be wrong, but preacher, I want you to know that I love you. I love you. When the truth be told, there might not be five that hate him. You remember I said, along this journey, there's going to be people who love you and there's going to be people who hate you. There might not be that many people who hate you, but it's just that one. And sometimes, preacher, you know who it is? It's these little children running around. Oh, well, up at my church, and listen, they got good. I was preaching away a couple weeks ago. I had a couple families came. They traveled with me. It was close to the house. As soon as I got done preaching, they ran up to that man's pulpit and they got behind that pulpit and they looked down there and they were like, they were disappointed. You say, why? Because behind my pulpit, I have a box of candy. You say, why you do that? Because I like when they come and hug on me. Somebody say amen. So I bribe them in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. They ran up there, preacher. They looked, they were like, where's the candy at? That man ain't no preacher. He ain't got no candy. But even though it's my candy, they come up, brother, and they grab my leg. Say, preacher, I love you. Can I get a piece of candy? Absolutely. But to me, this preacher, that's what I needed. They're ministering to me. I said this a couple weeks ago. I was preaching. I'm just going to be honest with you. It might not even be him. It might be her. He might be getting up here and preaching, and man, he's just doing his very best, and he's loving God. But yet he's got a family, but yeah, he's got a wife. Maybe she's facing something. Maybe she's dealing with something, and yet he's got to get up here, and he's got to minister to you, and he's got to preach to you, and he's got to love your family, and love your children, and love all the people in your household. But yet, in the corner of his eyes, he knows there's a brokenness that's sitting on that second pew that belongs to him. When's the last time you went to her and said, hey, I just want to tell you something. I want you to know that I love you. I appreciate everything you do for this church. Amen. Don't get quiet on me. I mean, we're talking about discernment. Anybody knows something's wrong when somebody said something, but according to the Word of God, verse number 7, they never said they were sad. I'm talking about, listen, being a genuine Christian. This world knows fake and what's not fake. They know what it is. You got to be in tune with God. You can play religion all you want to. We're not playing religion. Now, I was saying this a couple weeks ago. Listen, you're going to have a hard time convincing me that you love him if you don't love her. Amen, Brother Jason. That's good preaching. I went further and I said, I'll be honest with you. You're going to have a harder time convincing me that you love him if you don't love them. And friend, I don't just go with your hugs and praise the Lord, I love you, let me buy you dinner, preacher. No, no. That also goes with your tongue. Amen. Your tongue. Let me ask you something. Are you ministering to people that are hurting? You say, I really want to get through this. Well, maybe you're so consumed with you that you're missing out on the very door that God wants to open. Let me give you a third thing. You write it down, if you will. Number 3, write it down. If you're going to get through this, you got to serve through difficulty. How are you going to do it? You're going to have to wait on God. Notice what the Bible says, if you will, chapter number 41. The Bible talks about the timeline that they were in there. You pick up reading with me, if you will. Notice as soon as we start reading, it says, it came to pass at the end of 2 days. No. 2 years. You know what you're going to have to do? If you're going to make it through this with the presence of the Lord, you're going to have to realize you can't fix everything. And all God's people said, amen. Y'all with me this morning? Sometimes you got to wait on God. Can you imagine being the children of Israel walking around the walls of Jericho? God says, keep walking, don't do nothing, don't say nothing, just keep walking. And they keep walking and they keep walking. Preacher, they got a couple options. They can go to the wall, they can walk around the wall, they can jump the wall, they can crawl under the wall. But if they go back to the wall, the wall's still going to be there. Some of us got some walls that's been in our life for a long time because we've been avoiding what God's been telling us to do. But those that waited on the Lord, when they got done being patient, when God said it was time, you know what happened? That wall that had been standing, that it was erected, it had failed because they waited for the Lord to do what the Lord said He would do. Exodus chapter number 14, the Bible says, when He's talking about the children of Israel again, the Red Sea comes, they stand there, Pharaoh is standing on the backside, and they're standing at the Red Sea, and they're at that point of just impossibilities. They don't know what they're going to do. And the Bible says in verse number 13, stand still and see. Verse number 15, the Bible says, go forward. How many of you believe the God that we serve is a God of divine order? I'm not a genius, but I do know that 15 comes after 13. So He says there is a season to go forward, but it's not going to be until you learn to stand still. Everybody with me? Maybe some of you just need to choose to wait on God. Let me give you a fourth thing. Write it down. Write it down. Not only do you wait on God, but also fourthly, you refuse to get stuck in the past. Good. Amen, preacher. Very quickly, I want you to notice what the Bible says in chapter 41. Go to the latter part of it. If you know the story, you know that God gave him two sons. Notice, let's pick up at verse number 50. The Bible says this, 51, if we will. And he called, and Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh. For God said he had made me, everybody say forget. Everybody say forget. Now remember, the God that we serve is a God of divine order. And all God's people said, verse 51 comes before verse 52. Can I get an amen? So the first thing is to forget. Well, tell me about the second child. His name's Ephraim. For God had made me, everybody say fruitful. See, we all want the fruitfulness. Look at me. You remember what I said? The Lord made it to prosper. There's a part that God does. He has the fruitful season. But watch me now. But some of us can't get to the fruitfulness because we ain't chose to forget. We're still holding on to something. Let me give you a last thing. Pastor, can I have my wife come to the piano? Y'all love the Lord, say amen. Amen. Am I already on time, preacher? I'm done. Y'all stay. It's my last point. This is the meat of the message. One word, write it down. You ready? Forgive. Forgive. Chapter number 45. You can put that up there for me. Chapter 45. Can I tell you all these other things? Remember what we're talking about here. We're talking about staying in the presence of the Lord. I want God's touch on my life. I want God's touch in my marriage. I think everything I've said thus far not only applies to your Christian walk. Listen to me, if you're married, it also applies to your marriage. Some of you wives ought to elbow your husbands. It's quiet right there. You know why it's quiet? Because we all live here. Amen. We all live here. What do you mean by forgive, Brother Jason? Everybody says they forgive. But you know what I love about the Bible? The Bible leaves no doubt. You can argue with a preacher. You can argue with church people. But how many of you know you can't argue with the Bible? So let me give you a few principles on whether or not you forgive. Number one, chapter 45, verse number one. Notice what the Bible says. Then Joseph could not refrain himself. You know what that means? Look at me. You know that moment when somebody hurts you and they walk into a room and your blood pressure begins to rise? Amen. Maybe I could say it this way. It's like your heart rate begins to increase because you're reminded about what you've been through with them. You're reminded about what happened. Watch me now. Reminded about the wound. That wound ain't healed yet. And as soon as they walk into the room or they walk into the restaurant, you're not trying to be bitter. You're not trying to be mad. But the truth is, it hurt. Oh, it hurts. You feel it again. It's that moment when somebody walks in and you know that you got to make things right. But before you speak, you get that lump. Y'all might not be like me, but I get this lump in my throat. It's like if I say something, I'm just going to pour down with tears. I remember when I was a teenager, my aunt raised me. Every once in a while, my mom, my dad, they were dope addicts and drink and party and beat and fuss. But I can remember after I went to go live with my aunt, that my mom or dad would try to call, or they never sent a card or nothing. And all of a sudden, they'd want to show up and act like everything was all right as a kid. I can remember that feeling of being hurt and wanting to know why. Why must I be a child and have to deal with this? That's where it started for me. But then I got saved, got born again, and now even preacher as a pastor. People I love. That's how Joseph was. He could not keep himself. So you know what he did? You know what most of us would do? Oh, I'm going to go over there and tell them exactly what I think. I'm going to go put them in their place. No, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that he could not refrain himself from all them that stood with him. Notice, by him. And he cried. Watch this now. Leave me alone. No. Let me tell you what they did to me. No, that's not what he said. Watch this now. Cause every man to get away, get out from me. The first thing that you know that you forgive, watch me now. If you refuse to tell others about the offenses against you. See, we're always, look at me. I'm saying this out of love. Now, I love you. There's something inside of our flesh that makes us tell us that we're going to feel better if we tell somebody else what somebody done to us. Yes. People would come up to me, preacher, and be like, as a teenager, you need to love your mom and dad. And they're right, I should have. But in my heart, I wanted them to know, but they left me. They left me. They didn't show me any love for Christmas. They never called me for my birthday. When I graduated, they didn't come and watch me walk. They just don't know. They don't know. I wanted people to know what they did to me. Why? Because I wanted them to mark them. They were the ones wrong, not me. But you know what I've learned as a Christian, Brother Dalton, we still do that. We want everybody to know, no, just because I'm silent don't mean that I'm wrong. They're wrong. This is what they did. This is how they hurt my wife. Oh. This is how they hurt my boy. They're not innocent. They're wrong. But no, that's not what Joseph did. Preacher, he refused. He said, no. Remember what I'm saying? We want the Lord to be with us. Everybody say cost. It's going to cost you something. You know what that cost is? Sometimes, look at me. Not everybody's going to know how you were done wrong, but you're going to have to choose to trust the Lord. You want to know why this matters? Because the moment you say it, even in a church, you force people to choose a side. Immediately. They're like, well, you know what? They should have never did that, so we're going to be on this side. Or you're going to be like, well, you know what? They probably deserved it, so we're going to be on that side. And though you did not intentionally do it, listen to me, you were done wrong. But there's two things when you're done wrong. Not only is it the thing that was done to you, watch me now, but it's the way you respond to it. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm talking to my heart. And the hardest thing to do sometimes is to be able to let people know that even though you hurt, you're not going to punish them and humiliate them in front of everybody else. The second thing is, you write this down. Notice, if you will, not only you refuse to do that, but you can write this down too. But you notice what the scripture says in chapter 45. The Bible says that when he came to this place, verse 17, put 17 up. The Bible says, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, saying to thy brethren, this do ye, lay your beast and go and get into the land of Canaan. In verse 18, notice what Pharaoh's going to do. And take your father and the households and come to me, and I will give thee the good of the land. In other words, Pharaoh was going to bless them. Do you want to know the second mark that shows that you really forgave somebody? Not only you refuse to repeat their offenses, but number two, you don't seek revenge. You say, how do you get that? Because Pharaoh was going to bless them. Some of us would be mad if the people who hurt us got blessed. You're never going to forgive somebody trying to hurt somebody. Can I get a witness right there? We want revenge so bad. We want them to hurt so bad. We want them to feel so bad about what they did. Listen, friend, maybe it's just me and my family, and I'll be all right. But I'll be honest with you. If we're the only ones that's got to hear it, and we're the only ones that's Christians that deal with this, then so be it. But there's a lot of people today that are so exhausted because they've been not just weeks, preacher, and months, but years are coming to church. They lost their joy because they're exhausted from trying to get revenge. Some of you need to do what the Bible says in Ephesians. As for God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Some of you need to get down here and carry them chains down to this altar and say, God, I got to get through this difficulty. I want your presence again. I don't realize it, but Lord, I was miserable. I've been hearing these chains on me because I've been seeking revenge. Because yes, I was hurt. My family was hurt. And some of you need to come down here and say, God, I'm going to forgive. Because the Bible says, as God for Christ's sake has forgiven me. Lord, I'm going to let go of this thing and I'm going to move on. And watch the Lord prosper. Hey. Prosper my marriage. Oh, amen. We can breathe again. We're not smothered by the pain. We're not smothered by the why. Did it ever happen? Are you with me, church? Not smothered by that. No, I'm set free. Let me give you a third thing and I'm done. We'll stand to our feet after this. Listen. Notice what the scripture says. Go back if you will. Verse number 4. The Bible says this. And Joseph said unto his brethren. Notice these next three. These next few words. Leave me alone. No, that's not what he said. Get out of here. Maybe it sounds like this in church, Brother Dalton. What are y'all doing here? Why'd y'all come back? Everybody all right? Don't get quiet on me. Yeah. Kind of like we're surprised that you, watch me now, that you would even show your face back in church again. Yeah. Preach on, Brother Jason. Man, that's good preaching, I'm telling you. We've said this, but yet we say we forgive. We think, what in the world? How they got the audacity to show up here again? Yeah. Now we're getting down where we live, ain't we? That's not what he said. Come here, son. Get your boy. Come here, son. Come here. That's what he said. Watch this now. Come near to me. He said, come near to me. In other words, I want you to feel like cast. I want you to come near to me. I want you to know that everything's all right. Notice, let's keep reading the text. He says, I pray you, and they came near. Notice this. He says, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Verse number 5. He says, now therefore, notice these words and will be done. Be not grieved nor angry with yourself. In other words, he's saying, I don't want you to beat yourself up anymore. I don't want you to be worried. Do you belong anymore? I want you to know everything's all right. I want you to know that I'm at peace, that we can be together and we can move forward. And I want to ask you, I wonder how many people sitting in church this morning that know somebody that's not sitting in church this morning because they don't feel like they're belonging in church anymore because they know they messed up. And they're looking for a child of God. Y'all hear what I said? A Christian. Who made them feel like they're unworthy. Remember what the preacher was bragging on? We saying amen. You know, God chasing that rebel. Amen, preacher. What about us chasing that rebel? Oh, you preaching it straight now, friend. What about us going out there and saying, hey, I want you to know something. I know you've been beating yourself up. Maybe it's something like this. Maybe you've been in guilt, but I want you to know it's all right. Come back to church. Sit with me. You'd be surprised at how many teenagers, young adults, married couples will come back to the house of God. Simply because, this was the third point, we remove all doubt from their mind. Amen. I got some people in my life, preacher, I've pastored. I'll say this, a couple months ago, we dealt with a situation randomly one morning. How many of you know Krispy Kreme fixes everything? I went by and got some Krispy Kreme donuts. Hot now. Praise God. That's even better. It's like a double grace. Just kidding. I showed up at the door. I knocked up the door. My wife and son didn't know. God just told me to do it. I did. I said, I come by just to tell you I love you. At first, they wouldn't even come to the door. So I don't want to talk about nothing. I just want to tell you I love you. I walked in. I'll be honest with you. The male talked to me. He took the donuts. And it's like family to me. But she never came out. I left a little defeated that day, but the Holy Spirit reminded me I didn't do it for them. I did it for him. Watch me now. And nobody knows that I did that except for me sharing it with y'all. But the people who know don't know. So I didn't do it for anybody to recognize. Sometimes, I guess what I'm saying is this. Is when you forgive, it's not for everybody else to jump on your side. It's for you to be free. I say this in closing. My wife said a little bit about it the other day. All year last year, we dealt with this burden all year. We go through it. We get to the end of the year. We go through the process. We don't know what the Lord's doing. At the end of the year, lo and behold, through all the bitterness, the hurt, the anger, our son gloriously got saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. But here's what we as a family had realized. If we'd have kept being bitter, that might not have ever happened. If we'd have never forgave, that might have not have ever happened. If we wouldn't have done what we could where we are, it might not have ever happened. So I close, give you the invitation. I wonder today, who's serious about staying in the presence of the Lord? Who's willing to make their mind up that even though it's good today, or maybe it's not, that I'm going to choose to serve the Lord through difficulty. What marriage is here today that says, it might not be like it was when it first started, but we're going to get down this altar and we're going to ask God to bind Satan and we're going to get our joy back because we're going to do what we can. We can't go back and make sense of everything yesterday and last year, but we can thank God for today and start right where we are. Somebody say amen. Amen. You stand to your feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. She's going to sing a song of invitation. If you need to come, you come. Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Lord, I pray that you bless this morning. Use your word. Father, I pray, God, that it would help somebody. Lord, I pray that we would choose to be more sensitive to those that are hurting. Be more mindful to serve you unconditionally. Maybe this morning it's about forgiveness. Lord, whatever it is, may this altar fill up with folk that's serious about serving the Lord. And Lord, let their mind not just be on them, but Father, for the leaders, the pastor, his family. God, we're in this together. And Father, we need the presence of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If she sings, you mind the Lord. If you need to come, you come. Let God help you.
In this world, sometimes I need a word from heaven that everything's okay. And I try to walk by faith, but sometimes I'm so afraid. And I cannot see how God can make a way.
Listen.
But then I think,
not one time,
He's never failed me. He's never left me.
Not one time.
Not one time have I cried out, and my voice He has not heard. Never fail me.
He won't start today.
He won't start today. He will make a way. He's never failed me.
You mind the Lord as she sings.
And as broken as you feel, oh, your troubles, they are real. And I know you feel that God's forsaken you.
Bow your heads if you will. People are on the altar getting help. You can keep singing, Miss Tiffany.
But sometimes I'm so afraid, and I cannot see how God can make a way. But then I think He's never failed me. He's never
failed me. Pray for those that are on the altar.
Not one
on the altar answer to my prayer.
Out, and my voice He has not heard. Never failed me. He won't start today. He will make a way. He's never failed me.
With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, what a wonderful church service. From the beginning to the end, if you haven't recognized it, God has been moving. This was our prayer in the prayer room this morning, that God would manifest Himself today. I watched as He preached. I watched tears being wiped all across the building, because God was ministering to individuals where they were, where you are. And this morning, this many people in the building, there's a high possibility that there's somebody in here that if you were honest with me and you were honest with the Lord, you'd say, "Preacher, I do not know where I'd spend eternity if I died." That would be your question or your answer if I was to ask you, "Sir or ma'am, do you know whether or not you'd go to heaven or hell if you died?" Your honest answer would be, "I don't know." Your honest answer would maybe even be, "No, I wouldn't go to heaven." If that's you this morning, I want you to know something. Nobody's looking around. I'm not doing this to embarrass you or to call you out. But I want you to know this morning that you don't have to leave this church that way. I want you to know this morning the same God that saved me will save you. The same one that chased this rebel down will chase you down. And he has this morning. Say, preacher, pray for me. I do not know where I'd spend eternity. If that's you, nobody looking around, you don't even have to open your eyes. Just lift your hand up. Preacher, pray for me. I do not know where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. Just lift your hand up. I'll know how to end the service. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. You can put your hands down. Anybody else? I want you to know something this morning before you leave. I want you to know God loves you. And I want you to know that God will take you just as you are. I remember my dad got saved. He thought he had to clean everything up in his life before he could get saved. That's not how God comes to us. God knows you. He knows your potential. He knows exactly where you are right now. The Bible says he commendeth. That means he proved, he demonstrated his love for you. And that while you're in the very condition you are right now, the Bible says Christ died for you. My favorite verses in Scripture. He knew who I was, and yet he loved me. Loved me so much, he went to a cross and died for me. And I want you to know he did the same for you this morning. Now we got to do baptisms, we got to do all that, but I'm going to be standing right down front. It was three of you that raised your hand. As soon as this service is over, I want you to come see me. I want you, listen to me, I want you to come see me and let me help you. If you'll let me do that, as soon as this service is over, I promise you, I'll take a Bible, I'll show you how you know when you leave this place, how you can be saved. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, I'm thankful, Lord, for this morning, what you've done here. Lord, I'm thankful for your presence, your love for us. Lord, I pray that you be with these that raise their hand, not knowing where they'd spend eternity. Lord, I pray that you give them the courage, Lord, to follow through this morning. Get this thing settled in Jesus' name. All right. I want